Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest, Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Yes, 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 it is Motown Maurice. I am on the line. Please tell me you love that introduction. I just love that introduction. It gets me just fired up and ready to go. I do the show just to hear that introduction. Yes, it sounds like I'm full of myself, but maybe a tad bit because I'm proud of my accomplishments and I'm so proud of what the future has in store for me. Even more so, I'm proud of this show that is about to happen. It is Thursday, May 12, 2011, approximately 12:01 Eastern Standard Time, and as usual, I have an excellent guest, a great guest that is on the line patiently waiting for me to keep quiet so I can get him on this interview. This is my second interview this week. Make sure you check the archives and you can hear an outstanding interview with comedian Roy Wood Jr. Had a great time, and I'm about to have an even more fantastic time right now. I'm taking things a little bit different. All of my guests thus far have been Hollywood-based, Hollywood-bound, living and residing in Hollywood. But I'm making an exception for today's show because I have someone on the line who reminds me of myself, and he is residing in my hometown, which is Tampa, Florida. Yes, indeed, Tampa, Florida. He's not in Hollywood. Don't hang up. Don't end the show. I know. You say, wait, this is the Motown Maurice Hustle and Shuffle. You know what? I make an exception sometimes, and I'll definitely make an exception for my peoples in Tampa Bay because Tampa Bay has always looked out for me. But let me tell you a little bit about my guest. He received his bachelor's degree from the University of South Florida in business administration. Then later on, he founded X-Ray Vision Media so he could pursue his passion full-time. His first project under the X-Ray Vision Media banner was Game Lord, a short feature film that explores class roles in society. Just recently, in the spring of 2011, this was March that just passed by, David Williams is his name, wrapped production on The Bay, a performance documentary featuring the spoken word poetry community of Tampa, Florida. David Williams is currently in pre-production for his next feature film, tentatively titled Cone City. Ooh, that sounds interesting, which will be a satire of the commercial rap industry. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Make some noise for our guest today, David W. Williams. David, are you on the line?
Motown, I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, I am all right. I'm excited to have you here. Thank you for patiently waiting. We got much to talk about. You're a filmmaker. Indeed, I totally respect the life and the journey of a filmmaker. I've done a little filmmaking myself, and it is most of the time a labor of love. Are you still in the labor of love stages? What phase are you right now in your filmmaking career?
We're still in the labor of love stage. We're still at a stage in which I'm attempting and I'm going to be successful at building a tribe of people around my projects. So when I release a project, I have a group of people that are going to support my project, similar to a Quentin Tarantino or a Tyler Perry.
Okay. Well, I like how you said a tribe of people. Wow. How do you build a tribe of people to support a film project?
Well, on the level that I'm at now, it's essentially going to have to be person to person and also through referrals where if I put out a good project and let's say you're a fan of the project, you tell a friend of yours, they become a fan of the project, they tell a friend of theirs. So it's almost similar to what you have with viral marketing, but it's more on a person-to-person level.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Now, let's talk about your most recent project. You know, I'm excited about that, you know. Maybe I should have been on there because, you know, poetry is in my dear roots. A lot of my creative ambition started off in poetry. You may not know this, but, man, I'm a core member of a Black on Black Rhyme Tallahassee chapter. And in your documentary is Wallaby, which we both tied for first place in Tallahassee, Florida, I believe it was like 2001, and then we became a part of the troupe at the same time. Me and Wallaby go way back. So just knowing that you did a documentary to embrace and showcase the talents of spoken word artists in Tampa Bay, just spoken word artists, period, you know, touches home to me. Because, you know, I've done a lot of poetry myself. So what inspired you?
Hey, Motown, what inspired me was that I went to a poetry slam, and I was really impressed by the amount of energy and the expression of the poets. It was something I had never experienced before. And I felt that Tampa, which has a lot of spoken word poetry events in the Tampa Bay area, it's pretty much an event every day of the week, and nobody was documenting or giving any type of illumination to these events or to this scene that's going on in town. And so I figured that this was a good opportunity for me as a person early in my career to make this a part of my body of work to say that in 2011 I was covering this particular scene, which I believe spoken word poetry is going to be the next big cultural movement in the United States.
Nice. So the documentary, you had a recent debut, right? Just recently. How was it? Was it well received? How was the turnout? How did people respond about it?
The turnout, I say, was about average, and that goes back to the fact that I have not yet I don't have a tribe of people around my projects yet. So it was just another lesson to me to make me understand that I need to continue to build my audience organically to where when I come with another release, I can get a larger turnout. So I say the turnout was average, but one thing I was happy about was the people that did show up were the people that did believe in me as a filmmaker and were willing to support my project. So I had a lot of good conversation with those people when they showed up.
Now, what are the challenges of building that tribe? You know, of course, like 7 months ago, I was in Tampa, and I ran into some challenges. And I don't think those challenges were the main reason that I left Tampa Bay. But throughout the course of living in Tampa Bay, you've got cliques of people who would say, you know, people don't support, people don't come out. And I never allowed that to stop me from doing what I was doing. But it exists, and sometimes it can be very pessimistic to the mind. So, you know, that's just one. But what are some of the challenges that you may come up with, the difficulties that you are running into?
Just some of the challenges is one, we live in a world today where there's so many distractions. So, you know, your event is competing with multiple other events at the exact same time. So what you have to do is try to find out a way to become consistent to overcome the amount of distractions where people know that you're a filmmaker and you're going to continue to produce films no matter what. And the other challenge is that people really in this world don't believe in you until you produce. So until you produce and people see that you can actually get from point A to point B and be successful, they don't believe in you. And so it just falls back to consistency. You just have to continue to do what you're doing to where people will realize, okay, this is what this guy's about. And then they will start to believe in you, and then they will start to support you.
So consistency and belief is the two things that takes place. Okay. So now, in your journey to become a successful filmmaker, are you considering other locations as an option of creating, or are you just positioned on Tampa Bay?
I mean, I'm definitely open to other locations. I considered, and I'm still considering eventually maybe moving to Atlanta because it's just a larger population, and I think people may be more receptive to my work in that area. Mm-hmm. I will move and go. I will go anywhere and work with anybody as part of a collective, because I'm very interested in building relationships with other filmmakers and joining a film collective. So I'm open to move anywhere and work with anybody as long as they can help make me grow as a filmmaker.
Okay. What about Hollywood? You don't want to come to Hollywood?
That's the issue. Everybody's in Hollywood. I'm open to coming to Hollywood, maybe down the line, or if Hollywood sends for me. However, I was not interested in doing is essentially moving into a saturated market. You've been in Hollywood, and I know you've heard the term of, you know, everybody in Hollywood is a director. You know, the guy doing the valet in the parking lot has a script. There's so many people involved in entertainment in Hollywood. It's like, how would I set myself apart from the pack? And so my team was to set myself apart from everybody, away from Hollywood, and then if I need to go to Hollywood to take my game to the next level, then I would do that.
Okay, well, this sounds like a plan to me. You know, I came to Hollywood because I wanted to just compete with the best. I wanted some strong competition. It got to the point where I felt like I was competing with myself. So, you know, a few things added up. One thing led to another. So I'm out here, and I'm like, you know what? You know, I think I'm good at what I'm doing, and I want to compete with the best. And so far, I've proven myself to be right. At the same time, I'm not indulged in every last aspect of, you know, the Hollywood Kool-Aid. I'm still the creator of my own universe, and I still create, and it's just a matter of time before I get my thing back and going. But I definitely understand, you know, people leave their hometowns a lot of times just because they want to be around like-minded people. You know, you got to understand Florida is founded initially as a place of retirement. And it's going to always be looked upon as a place of retirement. So, you know, leaving is never a bad thing. Sometimes we get into this phase where, like, we'll wait for a phone call. But, you know, sometimes you just got to get up and leave. And, you know, Atlanta is definitely booming and growing. So I support you. And I encourage you that, hey, if it comes to that point, you got to go. Don't forget the Bay, you know, but you got to go and connect with like-minded people. You know, but that's... Yeah. And that's the journey of us filmmakers and things like that. So you got another project coming up. Have you already started working on Coon City?
Yeah, right now we're in development. So for Coon City, what I'm doing now is I'm trying to get my music together and get all my music releases together. We're doing a certain aesthetic, a certain way I want the movie to look. So I'm working with a person that's going to probably be my DP to make sure I can achieve my look. So we're in development, which is really the stage before pre-production. I'm probably scheduled to start filming either this summer or in the early fall. So we're in the initial pre-production stages.
Nice. Now, have you put any of your films, any of your work, or do you plan to put any of your films and work into any film festivals anytime soon?
Yes, I sent the, you know, one of the things about festivals, you have to make sure that for what you created, the festival fits your type of work. So I sent the Bay to the Independent Film Festival, which is the Tampa Bay Association of, I think, Art, the Independent Film Festival, Tampa Bay Entertainers. Also sent one out to the Martha's Vineyards Film Festival that's in upstate New York, either in Massachusetts. And I may send another one to the Austin Film Festival in Texas.
I've done some film festivals myself. I did a documentary based on the civil rights movement, submitted it to a film festival back in 2000. Man, when was it? It was like 2007 or something, like 2006. It wasn't accepted, but, you know, hey, you just keep on moving. Yeah, film festivals are really, really good. I really like film festivals. So, you want to educate, entertain, and inform. Is that the model of the type of documentaries that you produce?
Yeah, it's not. It's a model for the documentaries. It's the mission statement for my production company, and it's not just for the documentaries. It's also for the narrative film. You know, I believe I understand how the mass audience thinks, So what I want to do is I want to create media that education informs, however, I don't want to come across as being very preachy. So to prevent preaching, I need to make sure that my projects are entertaining so I can draw the audience in, and then on a very subtle level, I can educate them and inform them on a particular issue.
Nice, nice, nice. So do you mentor any other filmmakers, or are you mentored by a filmmaker at this point in time?
Right now, I'm not being mentored by a filmmaker. I'm very passionate about teaching the next generation of filmmakers. USF has a program in which they go and they teach basic filmmaking skills to grade school students. And so in the next few weeks, I'm going to reach out to that program and try to figure out how I can become involved. So when either the program starts in the summer or even in the next following school year, and so I can start getting involved in that program. Releasing this movie, The Bay, was really taking a lot of time, so I didn't really have anything. I didn't really have time to do anything else but just be concentrating on that. But now since the movie's out and we've pretty much done our one, I have a lot more time just because I'm in development to do other things.
Nice, nice, nice. So to my listeners who are considering taking a leap into filmmaking, what advice would you give them? What would you tell them to do? Some people don't know where to start. I mean, should they take a course? What cameras? I don't know. I mean, what would you tell a filmmaker that's just getting started?
I would tell them to, get as much money as they can together, buy a very cheap camera, or, you know, we're familiar with the ability for you to go and buy a camera from a retail store and return it, which is not exactly honest, but it's not exactly dishonest. It allows you to use a camera and just bring it back. You can also do that. And just start filming and going out and just getting used to using a camera and understanding how to set up shots. I'm sorry. To learn how to use
the
camera.
The quality of the camera is not that important?
The quality of the camera is not that important when you're first starting out. You know, you don't need to start out with a $3,000 or $4,000 camera when you first start because you don't know what you're doing anyway. So it's better for you to learn how to frame shots with any kind of camera, so then when you get more expensive equipment, now you know how to frame shots with a more expensive camera. You know, because you have to learn the basics of filmmaking, which is, you know, learning how to frame a shot, learning how to light, do basic three-point lighting. You can do those things with just basic workshop lights that you can buy at a hardware store. You don't need to buy expensive RGB lights or a tungsten. Learn the basics of filmmaking. There's a lot of tutorials on the internet that can teach you the basics of filmmaking. Learn the technical basics. Then once you learn that and you decide, okay, I'm still into this because I'm understanding the technical standpoint, then you can go ahead and decide whether you want to take a film program, whether you want to take a television production program, or whether you want to just go out by yourself and just start shooting film. But what you see with a lot of young filmmakers is they don't understand how to do things technically. They're extremely creative but don't understand the technical side of it. And you need to understand the technical side of it as much as the creative side.
So are you? What advice would you give on in terms of editing? Are you a Mac man or are you a PC man? Is there a big difference?
Yeah, I'm a Mac guy. I edit on Final Cut Pro. I'm not sure there's a difference because... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I've never edited on any PC program, so I wouldn't be able to tell you the difference. Yeah, I learned how to do nonlinear editing on the Mac, and I've stuck with that my whole time.
Okay, so you're real comfortable with the Mac, huh?
Yeah, Motown, I'm very comfortable with the Mac and very comfortable with the whole Final Cut suite.
Wow, you know, I never really got into Final Cut. Yeah, I played around with it a few times, but I'm a PC man. Adobe Premiere has always been my best friend. So in addition, which is cool, you're a filmmaker, but your production company also covers special events and banquets and things like that, right?
Yes, definitely. We cover, you know, special events, banquets, weddings, lecture series. We can do commercials, especially commercials for the internet. You know, we are very much, as of right now, a mid-level production company. We can do essentially anything in-house besides green screening.
Nice, nice, nice. How is the – I've done – you know, I was a wedding videographer for about 10 years, and I enjoyed it, but I never wanted to do it forever, so I was happy to wrap up that chapter in my life. What aspect of videotaping events do you like the most, or what type of event do you like the most? Are you at the point where you just love to do weddings?
I'm not as much as into weddings as I am more to doing lecture series. I like doing lecture series more than weddings. From a videography standpoint, the major revenue is in weddings, though.
Yeah, weddings are consistent.
Yeah, exactly. You can build a whole career just off doing weddings. But like you were saying earlier, it has to be what you're passionate about.
Exactly.
And that's the issue. I know several people in the Tampa area. They're very passionate about doing weddings, so they built their whole career off weddings. I'm more into doing lecture series or doing seminars. I like doing those more because it allows me to shoot something and also learn something at the same time.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, I like doing weddings because it allows me to shoot something and eat, you know, at the reception.
Okay,
All right. Oh, yes, I had some good meals at the reception. Very professional about it, don't get me wrong. You know,
okay.
If the bride and the groom is eating, I'm eating. Now, if they're walking around, you know, I got to stop eating. But, I enjoy that. I enjoy that. But, you know, that's a chapter that I've locked up so I can continue on, you know, pursuing other things. Wow. So I was going to ask you, now, do you have a team of people yet?
I have a team of people that I deal with more on the artistic side when it comes to creating a graphic or doing photography for me. Because I'm essentially able to do all my shots myself. I can edit myself. I can do all my audio manipulation. And I can do all my color correction and things in post. So my team is built more around a photographer. It's also built more around a person that does my Adobe Photoshop stuff and creates my graphics for me. I'm looking to find a person that has a background in social media so I can get my Twitter game and my Facebook game and my YouTube and get all those integrated for my next project.
So you haven't tapped into social media like you want to as of yet, have you?
Not as I want to. I've tapped into it, but you almost need somebody to just do that just totally separate because that's so big now. You need somebody almost to just totally handle that as opposed to you trying to do that yourself along with other things.
That is so true. Yeah, social media is very important. I need to get into it more myself. I have a small presence, but not as big as it should be. Nice. So tell me, what's your ultimate goal? I mean, what's your vision in 2 to 3 years, you know, 3 to 5 years? Where do you see your company?
I see my company transforming into more of a film company, doing more indie films, and being able to support myself and probably support a staff of 3 or 4 people just doing independent film production. And whether we need to get private investors to invest in projects or we have to go and get corporate investors, eventually transforming into where we can make projects that have a very low budget, but we can multiply the revenue by 3 or 4 times. And what I'm trying to move towards is internet broadcasting as opposed to four-walling a film in a theater, which is allow us a larger coverage of people to see our films. So I can broadcast a film all over the world through digital download or through iTunes, as opposed to four-walling a film and only having my distribution being limited to that particular city.
Well, where is the money at? That's what I want to know. I mean, everyone has a passion. A lot of people have passions for making films. And, of course, we all know that sponsorship can provide money for everything. But sponsorship doesn't always come through. But other than sponsorship, where is the money at in terms of making films? How can a company survive or someone make a living off of filmmaking?
I mean, what you have to do is you have to show a track record of profitability. And once you can show a track record of profitability, then you can take that track record to an investor because you can meet a person. It depends on, one, how much your film costs to make. But you can meet a person at a dinner party that may be interested in investing in a film. And, you know, you explain to them the risk, but when you sit down and you talk to them, you actually have documentation of your previous film to show that we spent this amount of money on a film, and this film has brought in this amount of money in revenue, and so therefore the profit for these particular projects is this. And that's the most important thing, is having good record keeping and being able to show, you know, a profit statement, not necessarily a profit statement, but being able to show statements of revenue. My DVD is connected to, my DVD sales connected to a bank account. So I can show somebody from this particular time to this particular time, the revenue for this particular project was this. Then I can show them the budget for the particular project. And that's the most important thing, is your paperwork game has to be just as good as your filmmaking game.
Mm-hmm. So do you have your film available on multiple sites, or is it just on one site right now, or how is that working?
Right now my film is available through CreateSpace, which is a DVD on demand website that's affiliated through Amazon. And what I'm going to move to probably this summer is making my film available to video on demand, where you can go to a website, you can pay a certain amount of money, you can watch the film just on your computer, which is where I want to move my films to in the future, have every film just be available through video on demand. Because I think the future of film, the future of film viewing is going in that direction. I think the theater market is essentially a dying market. And I think that's one of the reasons that's one of the things that Hollywood is not adjusting to. They're still based on the theater market. And if you look at these young kids, they're watching movies on cell phones. They're not interested in going to a theater. And Hollywood is not adapted to that market. The same way the music companies didn't adapt to iTunes. They didn't adapt to that until it was too late, and then they started seeing their revenues drop off because kids are no longer interested in going to a record store. They just want to download the music. And I think that's where filmmaking and film viewing is going, to where things are just available directly on iTunes or directly on video on demand. There's a guy named Ed Burns who releases movies, and he just does video on demand. He doesn't do any type of theater distribution.
Nice. So you think people are they're going to stop going to the theaters, you're saying?
I think the younger generation of kids is not as interested in going to theater movies as people our age or older. And so if you want to stay relevant, you have to create projects that can reach these kids that are 25 and under. You have to start creating projects that can reach them, because this is where the game is going, where the kids are going. And
you're tapping right into that.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying, and you're tapping right into the future of where the kids are going, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to. I'm trying to make my projects go in a direction where the kids are going, because what the kids are doing is their whole world exists online. It doesn't exist in concrete and mortar situations. It exists online, and the adults have not adjusted to that. That's what they're used to, because they watch movies on iPhones.
Nice observation, man. I wish you the best with that. Keep tapping into it. Tap into that. So for all the viewers listening, how can they find you? How can they find your DVDs? Is there a website? Is there a phone number? The website? I mean,
yes, Mom,
let us know.
Yeah. Okay, the website for the DVD is www.thebaydvd.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the website for the production company is www.xrayvisionmedia.com. I also have a Facebook page on the X-Ray Vision Media.
X-Ray Vision Media. All right. So you are well connected. David W. Williams, I greatly appreciate this interview. You sound like you got a plan. And you are most
appreciated having me on.
Oh, thank you. Continue to represent for Tampa Bay. Let Tampa Bay know that I miss everybody, and Motown will be home soon, and we'll all come together and celebrate.
Okay, all right.
All right, so hey, keep on doing what you're doing and keep me posted with all your success, man. I wish you all the best. Thank you for being on.
All right, Motown, you take it easy. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, thank you. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was a wrap with David W. Williams. That was a good interview. I really enjoyed that. Very, very inspiring, very interesting. And that's my outro music, but it sounds kind of loud, don't it? It sure does. I'm just going to turn that off because I haven't had a chance to test my outro music. But anyway, David Williams, I really appreciate you coming on. Great work. You have a vision. Continue your vision. Keep inspiring. If you got to move, move. If you got to come back. Hollywood's doors are always open for you. At the same time, Atlanta is not far away from Tampa Bay. This is Motown Maurice signing off for the Motown Maurice Hustle and Shuffle. Yes, you are listening to the future of late-night television.
and I just finished interviewing David W. Williams, the future possibly of filmmaking, because he's got the plan. Check me out at MotownMaurice.com. Once again, that's MotownMaurice.com.